Assalamualaikum, salam hormat. Saya Haris Ashraf Hasnan.
Saya Ibrahim Sani.
Dan ini Niaga Awal ni kami memberi fokus tumpuan kepada isu-isu tempatan serta serantau melibatkan perniagaan, perdagangan dan juga macam-macam cerita sebenarnya untuk kita bawakan.
Rangkuman mingguan.
Rangkuman mingguan hari ini, hari Jumaat. Banyak juga cerita sebenarnya yang kita nak bawakan. Pertamanya adalah berkenaan dengan prestasi perdagangan di mana prestasi perdagangan Malaysia mengekalkan momentum peningkatan pada April 2022 dengan jumlah perdagangan menokok 21.3% tahun ke tahun kepada RM231.44 bilion. Menurut Kementerian Perdagangan Antarabangsa dan Industri MITI, pencapaian itu merupakan pertumbuhan dua digit buat bulan ke-15 berturut-turut menurut MITI sendiri berkenaan dengan perkara itu.
Pada bulan tersebut, perdagangan, ekspor, import dan lebihan dagangan mencatatkan nilai bulanan tertinggi. Ia menyaksikan ekspor meningkat 20.7% kepada RM127.49 bilion, pertumbuhan dua digit tahun ke tahun selama 9 bulan berturut-turut. Sementara itu, import berkembang 22% kepada RM103.95 bilion dan lebihan dagangan meningkat 15.7% kepada RM23.55 bilion. Pertumbuhan ekspor disokong oleh peningkatan ekspor barangan elektrik dan elektronik ENE, terutama semikonduktor yang dipacu oleh tren pendigitalan global. Ekspor ke pasaran utama khasnya ASEAN, China, Amerika Syarikat, Kesatuan Eropah dan Jepun merekodkan pertumbuhan dua digit. Setakat ini, ekspor ke Amerika merekodkan nilai bulanan tertinggi. Menurut MITI, perdagangan, ekspor, import dan lebihan dagangan telah merekodkan nilai tertinggi bagi tempoh Januari hingga April 2022. Mengenai prestasi ekspor sektor utama, kementerian itu berkata kesemua sektor utama merekodkan pertumbuhan dua digit ekspor pada April 2022.
Sudah tentu dalam kita melihat perkara berkenaan dengan perdagangan, import-ekspor ini, tentunya FDI juga memainkan peranan yang penting, Ibrahim.
Sangat penting. Yeah. In fact, the World Economic Forum that's going to start on the 22nd of May is going to focus on the Great Reset because there is an urgent need for global stakeholders to actually cooperate simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. And in this process to improve the state of the World Economic Forum, which our colleagues, Najib Arif as well as Ashok Ismail and Azlinda Salim is on their way literally right now to Davos and trying to attend the World Economic Forum, which is going to be on the Great Reset Initiative. And of course, this has come about because of the disruptions caused by COVID-19, the pandemic and many others that have basically challenged the traditional context of decision making, the inconsistencies and the inadequacies and contradictions of multiple systems, including healthcare system, education, climate management, energy crisis, and of course food shortages are all bringing us at a historic crossroads and managing short-term pressures against medium and long-term uncertainties. So because of this, we're trying to understand this a little bit better. Our good friend from Scale Up Malaysia, looking at this. He's joining us all the way from San Francisco, California. Aaron, how are you, Aaron?
Hey, Brian. Good morning to you and good evening.
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon, right? And good evening. Aaron, we want to learn more about why you're in San Francisco right now. I'm pretty sure that you are there to meet some investors, but tell us about your story there right now.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. What we're doing here is...
Sometime last year, the government announced Penjana Capital, which is a fund of fund matching program. We're very excited about the fact that they did this because it enabled 8 new fund operators to invest in the Malaysian ecosystem. One of the fund operators is called the Hive Southeast Asia. They are a firm that invests in early stage businesses and do co-creation as well. And at Scale Up Malaysia, we've partnered with them for a couple of things. They meet our companies, they're investing in some of our businesses as well. So we're very excited to work with them in a very intimate way. And they have a unique feature compared to the other 8 funds. They're the only fund among the 8 funds that has a Silicon Valley partner. And that is called the Hive in the US. So they invited us to come join this trip together. We had the Hive conference on Monday. While we're here, we visited Stanford University. Right now, I'm in fact calling from Draper University. This morning, we're in Berkeley. And so it was really a good opportunity for us to understand what makes Silicon Valley tick. And hopefully, we can bring this back to Kuala Lumpur and to implement this with our companies and our startups in Malaysia.
Aaron Harris, following this visit, you are there in San Francisco. Are you changing your investing strategy this year compared to last year?
I think, I don't know if it's about because of this trip that we will relook at our investing strategy. Actually, we're actually going to be more aggressive in the year to come. We'll be announcing some new things with Scale-Up Malaysia over the next few months, which we think puts us in a more aggressive position. It means more capital for our companies at a faster ticket rate, so they'll get the investment much faster than before. So we're really excited to be able to do this. It's something we already wanted to do, but I think coming here has validated that, right? Because ultimately, everything about being a startup is about speed, about being able to execute quickly and effectively and going to market in a way that you can capture the market share as quickly as you can.
Aaron, the idea here is, of course, trying to see whether or not there should be a great reset and whether or not this impacts businesses like yourself, which is investing in other people, not just investing in money, but investing in time, in energy, in thought process as well. My question to you is, do you feel that Malaysia, for instance, needs to have a rethink about our own great reset into how we do things, not just in the tech sector, but growing businesses per se, whether or not it's startup or established companies? Where do you feel the change is going to happen?
I love the way you frame the question because it's about how we should think about running businesses. It's very natural when you come to Silicon Valley, we always think about these great unicorns. In fact, like just as I was coming here, we passed the office where Roblox was found. And for those of you with children, you may know Roblox is the thing your child spends hours a day playing. And you see all these unicorn startups, right? And you always think it's always about two things. It's about technology and it's about capital, right? And that's natural and it's true to a degree. Like you need technology, you need capital to make these great startups happen. But almost every single person we spoke to, be it a venture capital firm, be it Stanford University, be it industry players within the Silicon Valley, everyone seems to touch on some aspect of culture and the importance of that entrepreneurial culture. And that is everything from the idea that you need to be constantly learning, which is something that I see here. Everybody's always trying to get better and understand a market better, understand an industry better. The attitude that failing is okay and failing is really a learning opportunity, and that's really big here. Like they don't have the stigma about failure. Or if it's just the ability of networking and making friends. So I think building that culture of entrepreneurship is something that we need to do. And I think that needs to be a huge part of the Great Reset beyond all the other things, which I think are secondary if we don't get the culture aspect right.
I think Harith, you have an
idea, okay.
Right?
Aaron, how then do you think we can foster the entrepreneurship culture, especially in Malaysia?
Yeah, so there's something I've been thinking a lot as well, because especially if you keep hearing them talk about this and hearing about building culture, we're hearing a few things, right? Firstly, it's about really engaging people to see that entrepreneurship is a career option, it's viable, right? And we see entrepreneurship, I think, a huge part of Malaysian culture as it is already, right? You have a Ramly Burger stall on every corner, basically, right? And because people believe that they can make their own money. But what it is about really nurturing that and taking that energy and being able to build high growth companies that will be able to generate profit. And I think that's a huge component of it. So how we're doing that, I think what's really important is, I think what we're doing at Scale-Up Malaysia will be helpful, being able to nurture and train startups to help shift mindsets and focus entrepreneurs. And I'm glad to see that there are other ecosystem players who are doing that. So really intervention at the entrepreneur level, spending time with them, thinking about business models, thinking about how to grow companies and thinking out how to grow individuals to become high quality entrepreneurs. I think that is the key. And that's something that I think we should work on to build that culture.
Aaron, my final question to you is this. What would be some of the two or three lessons that you think is important, that you think is important for you to take home following this trip to San Francisco?
I think a couple of lessons I've learned. Firstly, obviously, Malaysia, we've got a long way to go, even though we've done a lot of good things over the last 2 years. I think Panjana Capital is a huge boon to the ecosystem and is investing in so many. I think they've invested in 40 companies so far, and they're only getting started. So I think these are really exciting to do, but we clearly have a long way to go. The first thing I think we really need to do, besides the culture aspect, which we've spoken up quite a bit, I would like to maybe look at how we can have more intervention in terms of technology, maybe with organizations like Mirante, who's working on, you know, development, science and technology, and deep tech. That's going to be really key, because we need to build our technology capabilities in the country. So that's something I personally want to look at. And then the third thing is, I think, really availing more capital in the ecosystem, right? One thing, a conversation that keeps coming up here among the delegates who are with us here, which includes other GLCs and MNCs are with us here as well as CDEC and Selangor Delivery Unit as well, is we're talking about how can we create more fund managers? How can more people can write checks to our startups? How can we ensure that our entrepreneurs can embark on the entrepreneurial journey, knowing that Malaysian venture capital firms and Malaysian investors have their back, so they can be very bold and really conquer the region, if not the world?
All right, thank you, Aaron. Aaron Sarma, General Partner of Scale Up Malaysia, joining us from San Francisco, California, United States. Moving along, we are looking at other conversations that needs to be had. As mentioned or referenced by Scale Up Malaysia earlier, we're looking at partners of Penjana Malaysia, Penjana Capital. One of them is, of course, RHL Ventures. RHL Venture and South Korea's KB Investment is running the Hibiscus Fund, which is a VC fund that forms part of the government's Dana Penjana National Program, or DNP. Joining us is Raja Hamzah Abidin. Raja Hamzah, how are you? The managing partner of RHL Ventures, pardon me. But Raja Hamzah, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. First of all, Raja, congratulations on your wedding. The last time I wanted to speak to you, you were away. Tell us a little bit more about your wedding.
Let's just say that there was a small COVID scare a week before the wedding, but alhamdulillah, I didn't have to cancel the wedding and donate all the food to charity.
Raja, let's talk a little bit more about what is currently being done by Penjana Capital, by RHL. You heard earlier what Aaron said about the Great Reset as well on WEF. Do you feel that RHL Venture is rethinking about how you guys are investing in this year or next year as compared to the previous years? What would be some of the Great Reset ideas that you can think of for this year moving forward?
I think as an investor, this is actually a great time to be in the markets, right? So actually, over the past couple of years, when interest rates were zero or negative, obviously there's truckloads of capital coming into the ecosystem. Hence, there's a lot of stupid capital just chasing very few opportunities. I think with this correction in markets, it brings a lot more bargaining power for investors like myself. It also means that we can negotiate for valuations a bit better, and also in the end, give our investors value for their money and returns over a multi-year period. But also what this means for our startups is that I think instead of just burning capital to grow, there's also a big more focus on profitability and sustainability moving forward. And hopefully this will impact the startups from a longer term perspective when they hit public markets, let's say in a 5 to 7 year horizon, meaning that they will become actually more investable from a public equity perspective as well. So I'm just thinking of from a multi-year perspective, I would think that as much as it's a short-term pain, I think for most companies that are good, with founders that are solid and malleable to the current markets, I think this will be a long-term opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm. Raja Hamzah, are you pressured to find returns earlier, or will you still be finding value in your investments?
I think, Ashraf, our focus is always on returning value to investors and returns, right? In the end, that's how I create a business and how I kind of build a platform for multiple funds moving forward. So for us now, it's just kind of being opportunistic in terms of deploying capital. Maybe to be fair, squeezing the startups a bit more in terms of valuation and also in terms of terms, but at the same time, kind of like anchoring the valuation and supporting the startups over multiple rounds. So for us, I mean, we primarily focus on the Series A and B stage, but we always leave a portion of our fund for follow-on investments. The idea is not only to just invest from you from like on day one. The idea is to kind of help you over multiple funding rounds. And that's what we see ourselves as a longer-term partner for our portfolio companies.
Raja Hamzah, I want to ask you a little bit more about some of the mega trends that you are thinking of. I'm making reference again to the World Economic Forum. They're thinking about climate change. They're thinking about, you know, the big ideas here. Are those sentiments being shared currently by folks like yourselves?
Actually, to be fair, there's a big push by investors to focus on ESG, and it's driven more from a capital allocation perspective. So the likes of IFC, EPF, Quab have all added this as a layer to their investments. What that means is a follow-on layer for us is that there's a lot more focus on ESG-related sectors. So one of them for us is agriculture and food tech. So we've spent quite a bit of time there because we believe that the future of food and food security is critical to Malaysia. But also we see that there's similar trends in Indonesia and Vietnam where cross-border trade is being affected by the global economy. Local trade is being affected. Supply cuts are happening. So I think this whole agri and food space is...
It's not as sexy as e-commerce, as the high-growth Shopee Lazada type model, but we've seen a big increase in interest in agri and food due to this push of ESG. An example could be smart farming, drone services, alternative proteins. These are sort of themes that we have been spending a bit more time on.
Raja Hamza, because of when you growing your fund is critical from LPs, but how are you finding disbursement? Is it hard finding good companies to invest in currently?
So I think the critical part now is having a strong team, but also having a strong network, right? So our team is on the ground daily looking for deals. So we have a team of about 15 people sourcing deals across the whole region. At the same time, it's also critical to kind of rebuild relationships with all our regional friends. So having our Korean partners, our good friends in Indonesia and Vietnam, where I traveled to recently, to understand the market, to share deals is important for us to build a deal flow. And in essence, I think in this VC ecosystem, it's a bit different from PEs, where it's a lot more collaborative of co-investing with different partners, right? So we invested with the likes of Sequoia, Golden Gate, so a lot of the big investors in the region. And the idea is to continue doing that so that we build the platform for future rounds for portfolio companies.
Earlier on, we heard Aaron of Scale Up Malaysia talking about networking, fostering relationships between companies, being the highly most critical factor right now moving forward. We're now hearing you saying the same thing as well, how you can build networks together, particularly with businesses with the same ideas, maybe not necessarily the same size, but how do you feel that whole culture of networking in Malaysia, whether or not it's in startups, tech startups, or just entrepreneurship culture altogether, do you feel that there has to be some great reset that needs to be done when it comes to doing work, basically better networking in order for things to, I guess, work or succeed?
Okay, I think networking is good. At the same time, also everyone has to kind of do their work and analyze their companies or even like work on the operational capabilities of each company. But I think on the networking part, my personal opinion is that I think Malaysians are good for local to local. So as in like developing local relationships and building those bridges accordingly. But I think in this kind of like post-COVID environment where travel is back to normal, the critical part is kind of how do you build that bridge from Malaysia to Southeast Asia and to the globe, right? So kind of how do you expand that pool from a local either business or investing business to a regional business and building that pie. So I think that's critical in terms of, I want the startups that I talk to, hey guys, it's no longer like a closed ecosystem. Zoom is no longer the go-to option. You got to hustle and like go out, meet your clients in the region, meet your potential investors. Just go hustle in front of them because in the end, we got to be realistic. Like I think in terms of the bigger pool that we see, it's a regional pool, not just a local pool. So I think in terms of networking, I've always told my guys, like, I've been to probably about 7-8 countries over here in the past 6 months. I think you just got to build those bridges back and just be aggressive about it.
Raja Hamza, do you think the government has what it takes to help VCs like yourself move ahead?
Okay, if you look into the past 10 years, I think, honestly, Malaysia were the pioneers in the VC ecosystem, right? I think we launched MassCap extremely early, even before our Singaporean peers were focusing on the fund-of-fund business. So I think in terms of ideas, we've always been kind of up there. But I think in terms of multi-year execution, we still fall short of our neighbours. Hence why I think in terms of what the government is doing now, I think it's good, but I think it should be a bridge to something more in the future. I think there needs to be a lot more collaboration between the different agencies, especially the tech agencies, so there's a united front when foreign investors come in, and also a united front when I think our startups are looking for help.
Final question, Raja Hamza, in terms of how the risk analysis is going to look like for you, what would be one or two big risks that you're looking at right now?
Okay, I think the macro environment now is probably the toughest I've seen over the past decade or so, probably since the global financial crisis in terms of liquidity. Yeah. So I think number one, what I tell my startups is, hey, do your sensitivity analysis and calculate how much runway you have, right? So and be realistic in terms of how much time you have left in the business. If you don't have much time, there's two options. One, either control your burn and make your business profitable, or like start at least like break even. Or number two is try to raise more capital. But at the same time, obviously, if you're not doing well, raising capital is tough. So I think number one is runway is everything in this business at this time. So one is kind of like build up your war chest. Number two is instead of trying to target like 10 growth areas, I think do the 80-20 rule, right? You just target the top two or three and be prudent and realistic about it. So I think those two are my messages to the current portfolio investment. But I think in essence, I do find there's a divergent, right? So a lot of our Malaysian portfolios are usually EBITDA break-even, but our regional portfolios are usually, I think there's a lot more risk appetite to kind of burn to grow. So I think that's a bit more a different advice I give to like kind of the regional guys versus the Malaysian guys.
Thank you very much. That was Raja Hamzah Abidin, Raja Nungchi, the managing partner of RHL Ventures. We'll be right back after these messages.